Hello and welcome back to W Rated, the podcast where we willingly watch the world's worst rated movies. Today's episode is slightly different. We've got a little bonus episode for you. Me and Claire were very excited to hear a certain sequel came out. I think it was last week. So we decided to jump on and do a quick reaction episode for you guys. So for anyone that's new to the pod, my name's Daisy, and as always, I'm joined by podcast co-creator and co-host Claire. How are you doing?
Hello, I am doing well. I was excited to watch this movie. I'm interested to talk about it. And yeah, it's a good one.
It's definitely one I was intrigued by. Its predecessor, its original, was on the bottom 100. It's something that I've actually watched twice. And it's something we also spoke about in one of our Razzies episodes as well. So mm-hmm. I feel like this series...
It's the unofficial...
the unofficial franchise of the podcast. So, Claire, did you want to tell us what the film is that we're doing our reaction bonus reaction episode of
today? Yes, for anyone who somehow managed to click into this without reading the title,
I know, I always do
imagery.
That but you know, sometimes we're on a playlist, sometimes I don't know, people going on a real binge of us, good luck.
We are talking about the 2022 release 365 Days This Day, which came out at the time of recording, I think 5 days ago, it will have been just over a week by the time we released this. We covered the first film, which is currently on the bottom 100 last year. You can check that episode out. And how long until this one ends up on the bottom 100? Because it was currently, last time I checked, at a 0% on Rotten Tomatoes. So it could be our first 2022 release.
It could be. I don't know how often it actually refreshes. If it's like the most popular, it would refresh every Monday. But
Jonas Brothers arrived up there 2 weeks ago, so who knows?
Yeah. We'll have to keep an eye out. But yeah, I know you mentioned the 0% on Rotten Tomatoes, but I don't even think the original got that low, did it?
I don't know. Let's do a little real-time Googling. I'm going to say that the original did also get 100. Did also get a 0. That's what I'm going to say.
I feel like 365 Days, the first one, holds a very special position with IMDb being on the bottom 100, but also still being on the most popular 100 every single week since it's been released. I'm pretty sure it hasn't dropped off at any point.
It's a special movie. So it also has 0% on the tomato meter with 16 reviews and an audience score of 29%. And then the new one has 0 with 11 reviews and an audience score of 19%. So very, very similar. We haven't really done any research for this one. I literally finished watching the film like maybe 2 hours ago on a plane. So the original one wasn't offered as a screener to critics, and I'm going to imagine that the second one also wasn't offered, which is why there are very few reviews, because it's not worth most publications reviewing something once it's already out.
Yeah, and what was interesting as well, I saw you tweet about how your Netflix didn't actually recommend this to you.
No, it wasn't anywhere to find. I had to really search for it.
Yeah, so I've just signed up with the new Netflix because I was previously sharing. So none of my none of my suggestions are there anymore. But yeah, it's interesting. I haven't seen anything other than it come onto the most popular list a few weeks ago, and I watched the trailer,
Netflix,
but other than that, I'm not seeing any marketing.
Well, they heavily marketed the trailer. The trailer was everywhere.
Okay.
So I don't know if that was all the promotion they did. But like, I watched the original one on my Netflix, so I did think it would be like, hey, you liked this,
and
you should watch this.
It's been number one, or like, you know, top 10. You know, it was one of their biggest 2020 successes. You'd think that maybe they'd ride on that. But yeah, it's interesting. Obviously, we're speaking about Netflix. It's not a Netflix original. It's just that's the only platform that it's currently on. I don't think it's got any theatrical releases or anything, but I don't know. Everything on Netflix is a bit up in the air at the moment, isn't it? Nothing seems to really make sense with what they're doing, so we won't
recording.
Go too We won't go too far into the details of working out what they're doing and why. But yeah, just interesting how big the original was and how this kind of, I don't know, slipped onto the radar a little bit. Mm. But I'm sure the people who are super keen, aka us, to watch it will find it in their own way.
Mm-hmm. So what did you, as a quick thumbs up, thumbs down, mm-hmm. what was your opinion of it?
I actually felt like it had an incline. It had an incline. I started very low, mm-hmm. and then by the third act, I actually did feel like it got a little bit more palatable. Mm-hmm. I think, I don't know if it's because I knew what to expect, mm-hmm. but I found this one so much more cringy. And less forgiving, less camp, less,
yeah.
Oh, I know what I'm watching and it's erotic thriller and all of this. It just, there wasn't anything thrilling about it in this one, I don't think, which unfortunately was its downfall.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't say that, like, I didn't want to say I enjoyed the first one, but I did. I actually don't think I enjoyed
it. You don't want to enjoy it, but you do.
But yeah, and I feel sorry for the film because it's not as good as the first one. Yeah. And it's because,
and that's saying something.
But I think, and like, we're going to go into spoilers here, but I feel like they really listened to the criticism and they really worked hard on addressing the criticism. And because of that, they made a bad movie.
It must disappear.
Yeah. It's like... The positives of the first one were that everyone said that the music was really good. So this one, if you'd have told me this film was a visual album, I would have believed you. Yeah. I would like, I'm not going to rewatch it, but I would love to rewatch it and time how long the gaps are between a song ending and a song finishing, because there were just whole music videos.
Yeah,
in this
it
film.
Really was, because the songs were never sort of with dialogue scenes. They were always... very much, it was all montages, wasn't it? Basically, it's like montage and then a dialogue scene, montage and then a dialogue scene.
There was some very good dialogue in the first scene where her opening line is, I forgot my panties.
Oh god, no, literally, it's the first thing I noted down. So I started watching this, I stayed at my boyfriend's last night, and I started watching this when he was asleep this morning to try and just like get ahead of the game a little bit. Because I was like, I'll wait till I get home and I'll watch it like properly. And I was just like, I don't think I need to. So I started watching it with my headphones in bed, and I've just put very fast note. Second line, I don't have panties. It's just the most. I'm surprised it didn't wake him up, because I was like, oh my god, it's just so cringe.
Yeah.
And I get what they're going for with this whole like, oh, mysterious, and look, English isn't their first language either. So, but who talks to each other like that? Like,
definitely. And I did on that, like, the English dialogue scenes are far more stilted than the Polish or the Italian scenes.
Absolutely.
The Polish scenes in particular were more enjoyable, whereas when they're talking in English, it feels stilted.
I kind of wish they didn't talk in English.
Well, but the thing is that one of them's Italian and one of them's Polish.
So when they're talking, and that's the thing, that's what's most important, is their
relationship.
Dynamic in a relationship. Oh my god, I feel like you've just opened like a part of my mind, which makes me realise why this doesn't work.
Yeah, it's because they're not natural English speakers, so their acting when they're speaking in English is more stilted, because I think the words aren't natural in their mouth, because it isn't
and
their
And they should use
language.
That to their advantage of this whole, you know, speaking with their body, their chemistry. Like, I don't know, if they'd played on it and... their English wasn't as good, both of their English wasn't as good or something, and they couldn't really communicate in any other way. But no, it just makes for some really, really, really cringe dialogue. Yeah. If you thought, oh, your last baby girl could get
there
could
was
get
only
worse,
one baby girl, and it was used mockingly.
Yeah, and it wasn't even by the main guy, was it?
So sad. No, it wasn't.
It wasn't even by Massimo.
But yeah, so like the praise the first one got was that they were both very attractive, so they were both looking very attractive again in this film. Mm-hmm. The praise that it got was that the music was good. The praise that we said was that it had a lot of montages. And then all the negativity it got was the hostage kidnapping storyline. the lack of sexual consent within the sex scenes.
Yeah.
And then it was also criticised, I think, for the dialogue, and then there was like another key criticism. So they did really take all of that out. All of the sex in this is very heavily, clearly consensual.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot
and
less...
puts her in a lot more of a position of power.
Every single sex scene is about her pleasure. The only one that's about his pleasure is her saying, you can do whatever you want to me because I trust you, which was a big thing missing from the first one.
Even then,
it's framed as always her being in pleasure, with him.
Definitely.
So they really worked on that.
Which is good.
They also gave her a lot more autonomy because, as we discussed in the episode we did for the first film, the second book, which this is not the same as, they've kind of rewritten.
Mm.
In the second book, it opens with the end of the first book where she has been kidnapped by someone else.
Mm-hmm.
She starts to fall in love with the other person that's kidnapped her while also being
in
love
just
with
madness.
Massimo.
Which is just silly. Clearly, she has a kink and it is being kidnapped.
Yeah. And whereas in this one, she does go off with another man and starts to fall in love with him, but it's done by her choice. She chooses to go with him. He does trick her. He doesn't tell her who he is, but she goes of free will, and they make a really big point of saying, you came here by your own choice.
Yes.
And they don't consummate their relationship either. They kiss and she has sex dreams about him, but they never actually have sex.
And I think knowing what I was expecting from a story from this one because of what we spoke about last time, I was actually pleasantly surprised to see a little bit of it, because I was like, oh, maybe they're doing something different. And then it did turn out that he had... not really kidnapped her, but he had, you know...
Misled her, false pretenses.
And basically lured her to a certain place that would benefit him in a wider sort of story leading up to the mafia families and stuff. But I kind of like that it kept me guessing a little bit. And I think if they'd have gone with the original, not only would it have, you know, just repeated the same issues that they had before, but it would just felt so repetitive.
See, that's where I'm struggling with my opinion of it, because one of the biggest complaints we had, and I think a few other, like some of the other podcasts I listened to back when we did our episode, was that the source material was the issue and it's not an easily adaptable source text. So here they've kind of taken a couple of elements about having the other guy and the mafia families involved and it being an enemy, but they've really, like, they've added in, you know, a secret twin, which we have to come back to.
I wasn't sure if that was in the book or not.
And as far as I'm aware, it wasn't. It might be in the third book. I never looked up what happened in the third book. They've taken out the pregnancy storyline because she is pregnant in the second book and gives birth in the second book. Because there's a whole health thing with her heart where he has to choose between her and the baby.
The heart thing was not mentioned.
Just gone. The baby thing's just gone.
Yeah.
They took all of that out and then they've come up with this new storyline, but they sort of almost forgot to do a storyline. They were so busy with all of these montage-y, sexy music videos that whilst the source material is problematic, and I think if they'd adapted the second book and gone for the same kidnapping kinks and all of that and the lack of consent, it would have been problematic. But because they went completely off-piste and didn't have a source text, they've made a really boring film.
It's just a bit diluted, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. And you can tell that. It's like when we talk about films that are made by committee.
Mm-hmm.
Because
if you try and
please everyone, you please no one.
That's it. They've listened to the criticism and they've really taken it to heart, I think. But unfortunately, it feels wrong to say, but the criticism was kind of what made it great.
Like, yeah, or at least just interesting to watch.
Yeah, yeah, interesting.
Yeah, I agree. And when you were saying sort of like the story, it really, really is simple.
It doesn't really kick in for about 30, 40 minutes.
No, and here's my main issue with the first one as well, but mainly this one, is it kind of just feels like Laura's wanting there to be a problem with her marriage when there isn't one. Like, you know, for the first half an hour, we see them get married and they're having sex here, there and everywhere, as always, which is great. Good for them. But then it's just like, they come back from their honeymoon. So they're all happy, happy, happy. They come back from their honeymoon and then Massimo's like, I booked a trip for you, her and Olga, her friend.
Mm-hmm.
And then she gets the ump about it. And she's like, oh, first film she calls herself, I'm not just a bag of potatoes you can move around. This time she was like, we're not just furniture you can move around. And he was just like, you can't see my face, but it's a, it's a thing of like, just deal with it. It's a nice holiday. Look off. And then, like, she seems to love the holiday with Olga in the end, but then he comes back and goes, we've got to go. And then she kicks off again. So it's just like she just takes... It seems like she causes problems with this whole control thing mm-hmm. when he's not even really controlling her, per se. He's just kind of telling her what to do in, like, two tiny instances.
Well, and it's difficult because I'm like... Surely she knew what she was getting into because she makes big things
out.
He
did it so much worse the first time, and she married him. Like, you know who this guy is.
I'm bored. I don't have a career anymore. And it's like, yeah, like she was built up to be this big career woman at the start of the first film. So it's like, yeah, like you don't seem to have any hobbies, or you seem to want the only part of your personality seems to be having sex. Yeah. You seem to be devoid of a personality outside of that.
Literally.
And your mafia boss husband doesn't actually have time to have sex all day. Funnily enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then like. He even goes out of his
way to
try and
rectify. Yeah, it's kind of like alluding to that, isn't it? But it doesn't really... They don't ever actually say those words. All they needed was a scene of her saying, oh, you don't have time for me anymore. Which you kind of allude to because he's like, oh, we've kind of got to go back to our normal life. But like, if she's the character who they built up in the first one, she would be the one trying to go out and get a job. She would be, and he would be going, no, you need to sit at home all day. So they've diluted it. They've tried not to make it so misogynistic, but then there's no story because he is a misogynist.
Yeah, and then like, so he buys her a fashion shop and she is going to run that, but then they just do a
that fizzles out.
The
nothing
fashion
happens.
Shop, and then it never comes back.
No, that was annoying.
But what I will say, because you brought her up, Olga, the best friend, played by, I'm gonna butcher this, apologies, Magdalena Lampaska. Absolutely adored her.
Yeah, she was great.
MVP of the film. Any scene that she was in, I was like, can we just have her in a rom-com?
She's living her best life, basically.
Yeah. I was like, kind of Confessions of a Shopaholic rom-com style for her. I think she'd be great. And I was like, that's who I aspire to be. Get my friend to marry someone really mega rich. And you just live in their house and get to go on all the holidays and be the best friend when she wants, like, dream life. If any of my friends' husbands want to earn a little bit more money and build me a granny annex, I have asked three of my friends to please build me a granny annex when they move into their new homes, and they've all refused, which I think is really rude. But please, you know, I'm happy to be the best friend for when you don't want to go on holiday with your wife. I can take that for you.
Yeah, she's got... I actually feel like her storyline's so much more fun and interesting. Mm-hmm. Like, she gets a love interest... they have some kinky sex as well.
Like, they seem to have fun kinky sex.
They seem to have
dark kinky sex.
Yeah, well, this is the thing, right? It's like, I'm watching this going, like, I don't know. It's like every time they have sex, it's that first time sexual tension sex. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, that's great. But like, you can have really, really great sex when it's not so serious. Like, if you're taking yourself so seriously all the time, I feel like you're missing out on a whole other part of it. Like,
spectrum of
physical
attraction.
It's just like it's all so glossy and polished, and it's just like, it's just, but that's the point of the film, I suppose. It's supposed to look like a music video or whatever. But yeah, I don't know. Like, I just don't buy into it. I just don't buy into their relationship whatsoever. Like,
well, so I was confused.
Just to interject really, really quickly with one line, I think they're both sex addicts. I don't think they love each other at all. They just seem like sex addicts who both can quench each other's thirst. Mm-hmm. And it's not even about all the different kinds of sex you can have. It's just about fulfilling that.
Yeah.
And then they don't have a relationship outside of that, really.
Absolutely. They have no relationship outside of that. So, like, the thing, he randomly drops in that he has a brother that she's never met and he's never mentioned. Yeah. And then, so I thought that the gardener was the brother.
Nacho, the gardener.
And then, partway through the film, like, a good almost halfway through the film, she sees Massimo having sex with his ex-girlfriend.
Mm-hmm. And she from the first film.
And they've been she's been a bit annoyed at him because she's realised he's hidden a brother from her. And she's frustrated because she feels like she's just a trophy wife, which she is, and that's what she signed up for, and she shouldn't realize
and that's what she's instilling in herself.
And then she sees him having sex and she runs away, and I was like, well, that's weird, because I was like, I get that they would be fighting, but I was like,
it
didn't seem in his character at that point in the film, in the development of his character for him.
No, I felt like that was much more something she would do to him out of spite.
And I can imagine him flirting with someone else, but I couldn't imagine him having sex with his ex-girlfriend. Like, so I was like, huh, confused. And then she runs away with the gardener, and then you find out that it's Massimo's evil identical twin.
And I just like, feel like that could have been
used... Days of Our Life.
Yeah. Dr. Drake Ramore. What's his twin called?
I can't remember.
Is it like Hans or something? I can't remember. I'll have to look that up before my next friend's mastermind.
Dr. Drake Ramore's twin brother is Hans Ramore.
That would have got a mastermind point for that. They kind of, I just feel like there could have been a bigger reveal, a bigger twist. Maybe they saved it. They should have just saved it till the end. That a big reveal at the end. They did it halfway through, and then you kind of find out what's happening halfway through. And I think the reason they did that is because they wanted the twist about the gardener actually being the rival mafia boss's son to be the big twist. But that, okay.
Well, unfortunately, that was really obvious because as she asks a good 20 minutes after the audience have asked, she goes away with him to his home somewhere in Spain, is it? Or maybe Sicily? No, I think it's Spain. Anyway, wherever she goes. And he lives in this gorgeous beachside, stunning, like, villa place. And I'm there going, he's a gardener? What you're saying? Like, no way a gardener.
But also, the only reason we know he's a gardener, I think he's a gardener, because he walks into wherever she is in her villa at some point, introduces himself. Oh my god, can we just the edited moment of him in his white vest and cargo shorts, slow-mo walking towards her, cutting a different, like, close-ups of his body in slow-mo, meant to be like, oh, this whole sexy entrance thing. I was in stitches. But anyway, he just goes,
that's
oh,
not
I'm
the
natural.
Female gaze.
Yeah. Hate to break it to you. But she was like, oh, I'm Nacho the gardener. And she's like, okay.
I'd be interested to see if he's a character in the books, because it really bugged me, because there's a really infamous character in Better Call Saul called Nacho, who had a really big episode last week. My fellow Better Call Saul fans, you know what I'm talking about. So I was like, how dare you use his name? You are not Nacho.
And don't get me wrong, like, I get that, like, she's not aware of all the people that he hires and things like that. What I will say is I feel like the budget was a lot lower on this one. Mm. We don't get any views of the mansion, the villa. Like, don't get me wrong.
It's almost all on that beach.
It still looks nice, but you don't. You've got so many, like, locations in the last one, and it's just.
Yeah, but at the same time, if you told me that it, like I already said, if you told me it was a visual album, I'd believe you. If you also told me that this was paid for by some sort of tourist, like a tourism board, I'd also believe you, because there was so much of them just splashing about on the beach, and here's a beach,
exactly.
And gonna go on the beach again.
I would say it's a bit more. What's the word I'm looking for? It's not like, oh, that location is inside this mansion and this is here. It's all very generic. Mm-hmm, it's all very outside generic stuff. Yeah. And that's why I think it's cost a lot less money.
Yeah, definitely agree.
There's like two instances of a car being shot from the outside. And I'm pretty sure, like, when Massimo's in the back, and like, they don't, it's not as much fanfare. It's like a lot of him inside the car, whereas before it was just like, I'm pretty sure it was like sponsored by Ferrari or something, you know. So I just feel like it was a lot more small scale this time of those kinds of things. Like at the end, when she's, you know, been kidnapped again, I guess she's in this big like vault, like I don't know, like this, like it's
warehousey,
kind of like warehousey, but kind of a church kind of.
Yeah, it definitely looked like a warehouse, but I don't think it was meant to be a warehouse.
No, and I think it was meant to be kind of like not ancient ruins is what I mean, but like, you know, on an island somewhere, you know, in these really, really old buildings.
In the grounds of a historical mansion.
Yeah, but you just never get those like establishing shots or anything in this, and just makes me wonder extended to that this time, with all the fancy shopping montages aren't there. Disappointing.
Lots of sex montages though instead.
Yeah, no, I guess
no
give
sex
the people what
yacht.
They want.
Where's the sex?
No
on
sex
the yacht.
In a yacht.
Not
that's
even
what,
equivalent.
I mean, that's,
no equivalent.
I mean, that's why their marriage is doomed, I guess.
Yeah, no more.
Not because she got shot.
Oh yeah, she gets shot at the end. But that's what I'm interested if there is a third one, because there are three books, but they've obviously gone away from the book in this, because in the second book at the end of the first film, we saw her go into a tunnel and it's implied that she has died in the tunnel and she's pregnant with his baby. They just ignore that. The film starts with their wedding day and she's like, oh, remember that time I almost died in a tunnel and I lost my baby and didn't tell him, but it's all fine now.
I'm laughing because that is literally the dialogue.
Yeah. Oh, that tunnel accident we were in. Yes, it was very scary, even though I have no scars and I did lose my baby, but we're just not going to talk about that until another scene right at the end of the movie that isn't even relevant.
Because he's not even supposed to know that she was pregnant. Yeah. How would his twin brother know?
I think it's because it's implied that like they took the hit out on her.
But how would they know she's even pregnant?
Because I don't think she went to a doctor's. I think she just did at home.
That's what I mean. I don't know. Anyway. I feel like there's a plot hole there.
Definitely. But yes, so they write that out. But so the storyline of the second book is meant to be that she is then pregnant and has been taken hostage by this other person to be used against him. So he's going crazy, trying to find her, missing her, looking for her. She is then pregnant, but she's falling in love with this other guy and having, I think, a similar relationship with this other guy because she's so confused. Then at some point she ends up in hospital and he has to choose between saving her life or saving the life of his unborn child.
I remember you saying
so this. I don't really... I'm going to look up the plot of the third book now. Book three.
Yeah, because they might just have to go to a complete... completely different.
Because they completely wrote out the pregnancy storyline. They've completely written out the heart issue storyline. Yeah. There is a second guy in this, but she kind of is only starting to fall for him when she finds out that he's a bad guy, and it kind of makes it clear that he would be coming back.
Yeah.
So, right. So, 365 Days trilogy's insane ending angered fans. Let's find out why. The third and final novel, Another 365 Days, sees Lara fall in love with Italian mob boss Nacho, so he is from the books, and spends more time with him, with Massimo reacting by killing her pet dog and sending it to her.
Oh, wow.
He then kidnaps her for a second time, and she ends up escaping and ending up with Nacho.
Interesting.
So lots of people have said, why write a love story and then ruin it? So they've completely, because I got the impression from this film that Nacho wouldn't be coming back.
Mm.
So it's interesting.
Yeah, he like ends up in like the standoff at the end, but he don't do shit. Basically.
So yeah, I'm now reading A Digital Spy. Thanks everyone who's done the research, and thank you for listening to me while I do research on air, everyone. So this is Digital Spy. And it's 365 Days This Day makes a major change to the original story. So they changed the character Nacho. So in the book, it's different. She's kidnapped by Nacho and held hostage by him. And surprise, surprise, starts to develop feelings for him. So they changed it for the film. And then, yeah, it talks about how they've toned down the more controversial, ickier elements. Reveals he's a... It doesn't say if the twin was in the books or not. So in the books, Laura is still pregnant with Massimo's child and didn't miscarry during the accident. At the start of the third book, Massimo has to decide whether to save Laura or their unborn baby. Assuming that Laura doesn't fall pregnant again in the events of the second movie, spoiler, she doesn't, 365 Days Free won't follow this path and probably for the best again. In the third book, Massimo chooses to save Lara but doesn't tell her why she miscarried. So it'd be interesting to see, because they've almost completely kept the characters, but they've changed almost everything else and added in new characters. So it'd be interesting if there is a third film to see what they do, if they do anything, if there even will be one.
I'm going to put my bets on that there won't be another one.
I don't think there will be. I think they made the changes with the best intentions, and I think it's better in the terms of, like, it makes for a nicer film, but I actually think they shouldn't have made the changes. I think that it would have been better to keep it as it was. Instead, it very much, the whole thing just felt like a telenovela.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Yeah, just all filler, really.
Yeah.
But a few notes that I wanted to bring up.
the happy wedding at the beginning with all like friends and family mm-hmm. there, just putting myself in the shoes of a guest attending the wedding of my friend and her kidnapper, you know, like it's just so bizarre.
I get the impression that they wouldn't have told most of those people that that's
what right happens. Okay, but the parents must have known. No, oh no, they he met them last time, didn't he?
I went to a wedding where my friend met her now husband on Tinder, and at the hen do we were doing a, like, those questions, how well do you know the couple, and so we all wrote Tinder on the how did they meet. Apparently she had never told her mother-in-law didn't know that's how they met, so then we all got in like trouble because, like, she's not meant to know. And I was like, maybe then, if you're doing a game like this,
don't include that question.
Or give people a little heads up. Just give, you know. It wouldn't surprise me that they wouldn't have told everyone.
That's very
true.
I don't know why. I just assumed everyone would know. I think it's because I just assumed everyone would know that she went missing, but I don't think that that's the case.
I was really excited that between being in a horrific accident that caused her to miscarry and then planning a wedding, she didn't have time to fix the atrocious blonde bob wig.
I was wondering when you were going to bring the wig up.
Yeah, but then on her first day of honeymoon, she found time to change her hair. I'm like, mm-hmm. hun, why did you want the ugly hair in your wedding photos?
I don't think there's any rhyme or reason to these things.
I kind of salute the makers for being like, we're bringing the wig back to explain to you why it then goes away. But I was like,
yeah,
I feel like
I feel like they've done it because they wanted some sort of visual connection to the end of the last one.
But I was like, if you're going to write out an entire baby and a horrific car crash with a line of dialogue, I think you could have just written out
only the wig remains. I also felt like this whole style, and with all the music and all the fashion and everything, it's like stuck in 2015. Like, for me, 2015 was very much like, I don't know, like, just all of this style of, like, music. It reminds me of, like, certain nightclubs as well, like, the look and just, like, all of the fashion and everything. And I just feel like that's when, like, all the tropical house stuff started, like, becoming really, really popular. And I don't know, I just get this vibe where I feel like I'm in 2015. And it's just, like... all of the music I remember listening to when I worked at a New Look, and everyone was wearing white jeans, and it was just a time capsule for me, basically.
Did you work in Bluewater, New Look?
I didn't. I worked in Bexley Heath.
Oh, the OG. Nice. Probably served me many a time.
I may have. Other notes. Jesus Christ, the dialogue. That's an actual line I've written down. Yeah. Using the golf flag as a pole to dance on. Inventive.
Oh no! I was more impressed with the implication that he puts the golf ball into her vagina and that she enjoyed it. Like, cool. We're in Benidorm now. I see.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, that was amazing. And then, like, just basically saying about how when she was like, "This is not protection. This is a prison," and it's just like, well, he hasn't even done anything. So unless you're just implying that he's controlling you, like, we haven't even seen that. Like, they've barely spent any time together.
It was like the whole bit that before she sees him cheating on her, when we find out it then wasn't him, is that they're at this big party and she wants to go home because he's talking to lots of people. Now,
and she says it's like such a petulant child. Like, I would get.
So I've definitely had those vibes. It's horrible when you go to, like, an event with someone and you're their plus one and you don't know anyone and all they're doing is going and talking to people you don't know. Totally get it. That is a shit situation to be in. But then you find out that her parents are at the event.
Yeah.
Her best friend and her partner are at the event. It's like, love, you've got other people you can go talk to.
But also, I don't even think that they told us. They didn't show us. Like, they never show any kind of reaction or look or... they don't... these people don't act. They talk. And fake having sex. Like, there's no actual reactions or actions in their faces in terms of going to this event and seeing that she's, you know, feeling disgruntled over the brother thing. It's just pure, like, face like a smacked ass. Yeah. I'm gonna act like a child. And I'm like, oh my god, just piss off then. Like, I was totally on Massimo's side this time. I didn't do anything wrong.
He didn't do anything wrong. I liked Lara because I think she's pretty and she looks nice.
Oh, she annoys me a little bit. And one more. the point of view shot of him, of Nacho, when he's under the covers in her sex stream.
Oh, so that was, I watched that on the plane.
It was like a fishbowl effect.
Yeah.
It was too much. It was like an anamorphic lens of this guy's head in between her legs, and I just can't.
And it's pure comedy. It's pure comedy. Because she kind of looks and goes, oh, you.
There's a switch. There's like a switch of view, and I absolutely lost
and
it.
I'm like,
I screeched.
Cool, that's actually like unconsensual because you were asleep and he's just gotten down on you when you were asleep. And you.
But don't worry, it was all a dream.
It was all a dream. But yeah, that was the only sex scene I watched on the plane, luckily. And it wasn't too steamy, and I didn't have anyone next to me, so it wasn't too dramatic.
I did download it on my phone to watch on the train home, but I decided against it. just for my own peace of mind, really.
It's a shame, really, because I've done plane and boat, so really you do need to do train and bus.
Yeah. I mean, they're my most common forms of transportation, so I think I could do it.
Human centipede free.
Well, I don't want to do that, but we're going to have to. It's just like Human Centipede 3, Jonas Brothers. Like, I know what one I would rather watch.
Oh, don't worry. We'll be doing the Jonas Brothers very soon.
Oh, yes.
Because I am not sure why that's ended up not only on the list, but suddenly entered at 27 when the film was only 10 years old.
Is it like come onto a streaming service or something recently?
I don't. It's on Disney, and I assume it's probably been on Disney for a while.
Has a Jonas brother done something wrong?
That's what I thought. I was like, this has to have been like a hate campaign for some reason. Mm. So, we'll be before it. Before
watch this
whatever,
space.
Yeah, before whatever horrible thing is undone, we want to get it done because why not? We've watched some traumas. Let's watch.
We deserve the Jonas Brothers experience, or whatever it's called.
But yeah, I mean, I think I appreciate the filmmakers listening to the critics.
Yeah,
and I do think that they took on that criticism.
I think that the storyline changed from her being kidnapped again mm-hmm. to something a little bit more ambiguous. I actually mm-hmm. did appreciate.
I appreciate it in principle, but I think I actually would have enjoyed the film more if they'd have stuck to the other storyline.
Yeah.
I think it would have been like not more enjoyable, but more like
so bad it's good.
And, yeah, weird and wacky like the first film.
Yeah,
whereas,
yeah.
like, I really
yeah, it just got a bit bland, didn't it?
It was very bland, and it felt like a soap. The whole
I wanted to be
like
shocked. We were shocked by the first one.
Yeah.
I think that's...
There was nothing shocking in this one. Yeah. Everything was really telegraphed. And like the plot of the first one was pretty telegraphed, but at least there were shocking elements to it. All of the shock factor was gone. And I think it is really commendable that they did listen to all of that and worked on those changes. And I think you have to commend them for that. But unfortunately, it also meant that the film just felt like a 2-hour music video with bad dialogue.
Yeah. Definitely. Any more to add? Any more thoughts?
I think that's my summation.
Should we do a rating?
Yeah, I'd probably give it 2.5.
Ah, so I've decided I'm going to start being a bit more harsh. Mm. I'm going to give it 1.5, not just for this, but just in general. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give this 1.5.
Ouch.
But the thing is now is that I've decided to just recalibrate a little bit because mm-hmm. I know that I lean...
Mm-hmm.
I'm just very forgiving, and
yeah.
I just kind of want to recalibrate my scale a little bit more.
Yeah,
and I was thinking about what we were talking about on our glitter episode, I think,
mm-hmm.
About where you start off.
Yeah,
and I always say start in the middle. I think film should work more for my love. I'm decided to start at the bottom, and I think you should earn my stars.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see what happens. So yeah, 1.5 for me.
So it's 2.5 for me because I would say a 3, I'll give it to a film that like I thought was okay but wouldn't recommend.
Yeah.
And a 2.5, I thought this is less than okay.
I actually did like straight up think this was a bad film. Like
I didn't think it was
I wouldn't
bad
have
film.
Said I wouldn't say the first one is bad.
See, I don't think this is a bad film. I think it's a bland film. And I think it felt like a soap opera. Like it was soap opera.
I think
dialogue,
for me,
soap opera acting.
The
so
reason
I...
it's more that side of things is just because it's bland, but also because the dialogue's so bad
mm-hmm.
and
even like the things that I liked about the first one, about the lavish locations and just the shocking side of it, it just all went, and we're not really left with anything redeeming, really. And I think that's the main...
But I wasn't particularly, like, I thought it was boring, but I wasn't bored.
It didn't offend me.
I mean, what I will say is I watched it whilst packing a suitcase and whilst on a plane. So I sat down in my living room
and watched it.
I didn't have outside like things that could distract me. So it was like,
well, I did. They weren't distracting things. I was just that bored. I think, as I say, I'm gonna start being not more harsh, just more, I don't know, varied.
You do you.
We'll see how it affects my future ratings.
But yeah, I mean, my only hope is that we get a sane-y, funny Olga spin-off. I'd be there.
Yeah, petition. The petition starts now.
Yeah, I like Olga. But yeah, I mean, that's it. We've not got a Daisy versus Claire. And we've not really done any research and we've not got any reviews. I mean, I do have Rotten Tomatoes up. Let's have a little
Let's just see what the consensus is.
So, you've got a 0%. So, Amanda the Jedi, who is up via YouTube, says, less story than a no-plot, just porn fanfiction. There's another one which I sort of disagree with. Shikhar Verma says, 365 days this day is not only dumber, more problematic and downright unsexy, it's also incredibly lazy, bland and so supremely unengaging that you wonder if it would even make sense to the returning audiences. I agree with all of that apart from the problematic
except
bit.
The unproblematic, yeah. I also agree. What a shit title.
But it is dumber, it is unsexy, it is, it's very lazy and it is bland. And
I
it
even
is...
feel like the English translations are worse, like when they say they speak English worse in this one than the first one. Like, not that it's an issue, like, at all, but it's just interesting. I do really feel like this had a much smaller budget.
And then the last one I'll read is Katie Rife for RogerEbert.com, who says, 365 days this day is barely a movie. It's the emotionally bankrupt ID of late capitalism, a brain dead miasma of choreographed sex.
I can't argue against it.
But yeah, I think Shikhar Verma from High on Films has the best review apart from the problematic thing. I do think it's less problematic, but other than that, he's nail on the head. It's bland, it's lazy, and it is unengaging. I've watched it once. I have very little opinion. Like, if you'd have texted me and said, I can't be bothered to record today, I would have been like, do you know what? Let's not.
That's such a shame because you were so excited.
I was so excited.
That's a shame. We'll see. We'll see if it makes it onto
Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness comes out in like 3 days, so I can bring all of my hype to that because Miguel Wanda's coming and she's gonna be evil.
We can't cover on the podcast because it goes against all of our integrity of doing.
Unless they really fuck it up.
You know. Kevin Feige could drop the ball any moment.
he's done some like bounces on a few films. He's never completely.
Listen, Marvel's never going to be on the bottom just because of the brand.
Yeah, it's like the DC films will never be on the bottom either.
Maybe there is a Marvel
Morbius
related something.
Morbius, because there's so many stands for Morbius, it won't end up on there.
Because obviously Batman and Robin's on the bottom for DC, we'll have to see.
And there's an original Captain America film on the list.
That's it. I couldn't remember. I thought it was something like that.
But like the DCEU and the MCU don't ever get there. The stands stand too hard. Those stands for Mariah? Where are the Jonas stands?
Please don't invite them here. I'm scared. Speaking of Twitter, do get in touch. Just let us know what you're thinking. Has anyone watched both of these films? Are you excited for the potential for the rest of the franchise? If there is one, let us know. Will you be campaigning for it? Do you like the changes? Have you read the books? Just let us know anything that you want about this film. Just if you want to give us a review or a follow or a subscribe or a rating or
anything you want at all, please do that. We love hearing from you guys. I think we had a new review recently, which was really nice as well. I can't remember off the top of my head.
And please do tell your friends, maybe not your family, about us, because yes, it'd be nice to get a few new listeners.
Yeah, no, definitely. Welcome to the Bad Film Club. Yeah. Let's see.
We should make t-shirts.
Oh my god, merch. We should do it.
We'll have to design skills.
No, well, we could get someone. We just have to think of, you know, these people always have like their famous quotes or like a little in joke. We need to start thinking about what our in joke is.
Is it higher than the Flintstones?
Oh my god! Oh my god! Just me and you walking around with those t-shirts. Hey,
my dream is that we one day have enough of a following that I can just post our logo blank. And then just get people to make our title cards for us, because I'm just running out of ideas. I just have no ideas. Like the well is dry, so it'd be mm-hmm. really great if I could outsource that to people who are more creative than me.
That sounds good to me.
Yeah, that's the dream. Good to me. If you would like a blank copy of our podcast logo to try and make some, please do let me know.
Yeah, make yourself known. Cool. So, Claire, where can we find you on the socials for anyone that wants to do that for you?
Yeah. You can find me at Claire Ellen Hope, Claire without the I. This episode will be coming out in 5 days. I will by that time have seen Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, so I will be both a stan account for that film and also a vicious bitch, because if you spoil it for other people, I hate you and I will unfollow you. I've lost many Twitter friends, but you know, spoilers be spoilers. Give people 7 days to see the film is my rule. Yeah. 7 days. 24 hours for...
Not 365.
The rule is 24 hours for a TV program and seven days for a movie. They are the rules.
Well, here you have it, people. You heard it here first. Them's the rules.
Them's the rules.
And me, you can find me at Daisy Vic Edwards and Daisy Victoria Edwards. Oh, sorry, at Daisy Vic Edwards at Twitter. And then Daisy Victoria Edwards on Instagram and Letterboxd. And then you can find the podcast at W Rated Pod on Twitter and Instagram and W Rated on Letterboxd.
And we also have an email address, I think it's wratedpod@gmail.com.
Yeah, that sounds right to me.
Send us an email one day. I check it when I'm bored at work.
Send an email, a voice memo. Remember, we want to hear, you know, if you've got a film coming up, or you see a film on the bottom 100, just send it over and we'll make sure we include it in the podcast.
Yeah.
We'll make you famous, you know. Don't worry about it.
You're welcome. Our hordes of followers.
Yeah, exactly. So we hope you... Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We hope you enjoyed listening to our special bonus episode. We'll be back with a new episode for another film on the bottom 100 soon. So we hope you can join us there as we take on the next worst rated film. See you then.